morning.
Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the name of God, sovereign and all you are. All powerful, all knowing, all mercy, compassion, gracious, loving, and kind. Father, we're so thankful. So thankful that you seek us out. And you desire to walk with us in a personal relationship. That you empower us by your Spirit. That you give us your powerful living word to guide and direct and instruct our hearts. You use that word, your words, to mold us into the life of Christ. And I pray this morning that our hearts and minds would be open, that we would not reject or oppose what you want to do in our lives today, that we would be receptive, or that we would be willing to change whatever you call us to change. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through our response to your words, which is obedience. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We're going to continue through a Psalm this morning. We're going to be in Psalm 119. If you have a Bible, look at Psalm 119. If you don't, there should be one there in the other piece. We're going to be in verses 97 to 104 this morning. Last week, we learned from the psalmist that there is always hope in the Lord. In the midst of every circumstance, the psalmist recognized his need for God's help. We must understand that there is no real help if it doesn't come from the Lord. We also learn that we should share the deepest concerns of our heart with Him. Yet at the same time, as we share those concerns and we ask those questions, we should also always keep our trust fully in God and His Word. The Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and the psalmist uses 176 verses to explain the beauty and the wonder of God's word. How much He treasures and how much He loves us. He gives reason after reason for why we should love God's word. Over and over, we see the impact of God's word in His life. We see the power of God's spoken word and why the psalmist treasures it so much. Today, the passage provides a few different reasons for why we should love God's word.
Right here.
But in your heart, in mind, as we've gone through this, you might be thinking, you know, how come I don't love to spend time in God's Word? Why don't I treasure God's Word like the psalmist did? How can we grow in our love for God's Word? You know, being a follower of Christ is not a matter of religion or demands or resolutions or willpower. It truly comes down to love. This passage helps us understand the answer to this question. It reveals some very practical things that we can do that help us grow in our love for God and His Word. First, let's look at reasons for why we should love God's Word. We love God's Word because we find in God's Word we find wisdom. So let's look at verses 97 through 100, Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation on all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the age, for I speak your precepts. Now the psalmist starts off here making a declaration about his love for God's word. And as we've seen thus far, his love for God's word is really unparalleled. God's word is so special, and there's nothing else like it. In this section in Psalm, it's kind of different than most of the others, in that there's no petitions here, there's no requests here. This is really a confession of faith, his declaration of his total dependence on God's holy word. How often we as human beings, we talk about what we love. We like to not only talk about it, but we'll think about it, we'll dream about it, we'll even sing about. And the psalmist here is not afraid to tell the world about his love for God's word. He loves the word of God because he loves God, the giver of this word. We clearly see his faithfulness to God, how he loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, with all his strength. Therefore, he loves God's holy word. Now, as a follower of Christ, loving God is first and foremost in our life. We see this in the Ten Commandments. We see it as Jesus declares it as the greatest commandment that a Christian Christian life is about a relationship where we grow in our love for God more and more each day. And because we love Him, we seek to follow Him, we seek to listen to Him, and we seek to obey Him, not out of duty, but out of love. Therefore, because the psalmist loves God's word, he says that it is his meditation all the day, which means he meditates on His word all throughout the day. How can we meditate on God's word all throughout the day? I mean, you know, we have busy lives, right? We carry it with us. And I'm not just talking about picking up your Bible and taking it along with you. I'm talking about carrying it with us where it's written on our hearts because we have put it to memory. That's why it's so important to memorize Scripture. Whether it's one verse or many, you're able to bring God's word to mind all throughout the day. You allow God's word to be applied to your daily life. You allow it to take deep root within your heart. And you allow His word then to change you from the inside out. You're not just reading it and forgetting it. You're being changed by it. You're holding on to it. You're pondering it. You're memorizing it so that you can work through it all throughout the day. I've known some Christians in other parts of the world that make it's a habit, it's a spiritual discipline to memorize large passages of Scripture. You can memorize not just promises, but even whole books of the Bible. Because in many places, when you're put in prison, you can't take the Bible with you. When you put in prison for the sake of Christ, they have His Word with them always, and it gives them hope and strength to press on in the midst of persecution. We are given one of the answers to our question earlier, how can I grow in my love for God's word? We begin by meditating on God's promises to His people. Begin by meditating on God's promises to His people. We begin to read and ponder the promises that God gives His people. And God has given us many promises. We know that God is true and holy and always keeps His promises, promises that reveal His love for us, His care for us, our certain hope, of our glorious future with Him. We meditate on these promises and we allow them to sink deep within our hearts. And as you do that, your love for Him and His Word begins to grow. Memorizing Scripture is very important. We need to make it a normal practice of our lives. One practical thing, as you begin to meditate on God's promises, your love for Him, your understanding of Him is going to grow, and therefore you're going to love God's Word more and more. The psalmist then gives a wonderful reason for why he loves God's word. God's word gives him wisdom. If you've ever traveled around the world and spent considerable amounts of time in other countries who don't have a Christian heritage, you're going to begin to see a lack of general wisdom. In countries where idols and false gods have been worshipped for thousands and thousands of years, there's a lack of true wisdom because real wisdom, real true wisdom comes from God and we gain it through. That's what we get. Wisdom is having the practical understanding to apply the knowledge we gain. God's word gives us wisdom that is far greater than anything this world has to offer. Even in an age of unlimited sources of knowledge, wisdom is greatly lacking. Because true wisdom comes from God alone. There was no one wiser than King Solomon because his wisdom came from God. When we put our faith and trust in God's word, having our heart set on obeying His instruction, we're going to gain spiritual insight and wisdom. It's why the psalmist can say here that God's word is made wiser than His enemies. Now, throughout the psalm, we gain a clear picture of His enemies, what they were like. They were arrogant. They taunted Him. They accused Him. They set traps for Him. Some of them were government leaders who wielded their power against Him and persecuted Him. Yet in all their attempts, God's word helped the psalmist to outsmart them over and over again. God's word gave them victory over His enemies. We saw this last week in how God's word gave him hope in the midst of the difficult circumstance he was in. He lived a life of victory no matter what was going on around him because of God's word. His hope, his trust were in God and His word. Remember, we live in a world where sin has brought about destruction, suffering, brokenness, and death. And when we determine to please God rather than pleasing man, we will be persecuted, mocked, attacked even for living according to God's word. It shouldn't be strange to us. 2 Timothy 3:12 states, indeed all, who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In the midst of that kind of treatment, that kind of persecution, that kind of, we would see injustice, we may seem to be tempted to fight our battle in man's ways of God. That we may be tempted to live in a way that looks like the world so that we should be accepted by the world. Don't let the world be the best of you. It's so foolish when we have full access to God's wisdom right here in His Word. That's why we always say God's way is always best. We have to determine in our hearts and in our lives to live according to God's way. Because it is wiser than the ways of this world. Therefore, we must be ready at all times, reading, studying, meditating, memorizing God's word so that we can make wise decisions in the face of opposition, in the face of unforeseen difficult circumstances, even in the face of a pandemic, or whatever you're facing during the day, we need to be prepared. The psalmist continues with the wisdom of God's word, saying that it has made him wiser than his teachers. Now, he's not being arrogant here. He's not being arrogant about this. In the context here, he's talking about those around him who have gained their knowledge from the world. Those who have not based their instruction on the word of God. Therefore, they are not wise. They're not able to give wise instruction to others. Having a PhD in front of your name says you gained a lot of knowledge, but it doesn't mean that you gained a lot of wisdom. He then says that God's word has made him wiser than his elders. Again, he's not being arrogant. The Bible teaches us to respect and honor our elders, yet it is possible for them to be wrong. It is possible for them to make mistakes or have their perspectives skewed by the philosophies of this world. They're human beings like the rest of us. Even when it comes to life experiences and how helpful those can seem to be, these life experiences are not infallible like the Word of God. We cannot truly invest in others just based on our own experiences, because life experiences are not the same for everyone. But God's Word is everlasting truth, and God is the true source of wisdom and guidance for life and investing in others who are in need. The psalmist says that he understands more than his age because he keeps God's precepts. In other words, he walks in obedience to God's word, and that gives him great wisdom. In Job 32:79 says this. It says, I said, let days speak, and many years speak wisdom. But it is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. It is not the old who are wise, not the aged who understand. In other words, the Bible is the key to all knowledge and wisdom and understanding about all things, the history of this world, the past, present, and the future. Each of these people, the psalmist mentions here, the government leaders, the teachers, the aged, would seem to be wise according to the world's standards. But they lack the deeper, true wisdom that comes only from God's word. Learn and grow in your knowledge of God's word. Seek to obey Him, and you'll be wiser than most in this world. Ignore God's word, disobey it, and you will grow to be a fool. Living a foolish life has no purpose. Practically, we need wisdom to live this life. We need wisdom to make right choices. And we find real, true wisdom in God's word. It's not just about knowing God's word. It's about obeying His word. Some of the wisdom that we gain comes through walking in obedience to God's word. The Bible makes this clear over and over. The psalmist does here as well. It's not just about hearing God's word. It's about obeying. Jesus makes this truth very clear in the wise and foolish children. Remember that very simple story in Matthew 7:24-27. It was the one who obeyed the word of God, not just listened to the word of God, that was blessed. God is a perfect Father. Perfect, unlike earthly fathers. And He wants to give you what is best. He's not wanting to withhold this wisdom that we so desperately need. That's not who God is. Each time you spend time apart with God, every time, you want to call it your quiet time or whatever, you're spending time with God, Because every single day, we need God's wisdom. All throughout the day, we need God. We need comfort. And James 1:5 tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. God wants to give you wisdom. He doesn't want us to walk around being fooled by the philosophies of this world, being distracted by these things, being prone to go by our own human wisdom. He wants to give us his wisdom. Take time to read and meditate on his promises, and your love will grow for God's word. And God's word is a treasure of wisdom that's going to bless your life in so many different ways. Now, I remember telling my children as they started having, as they came to the Lord and put their faith and trust in Christ and they begin walking with the Lord and reading God's word, have your own time with God, not just family devotion. I always told them, make sure you're praying for wisdom every single day. Don't ever stop praying for next week, we love God's word because in God's word, we find the way of righteousness. Look there, 1:1-2. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I cannot turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Now, remember, wisdom is knowing how to practically apply the knowledge you have. In these verses, we see the psalmist is able to stay away from evil and walk in the way of righteousness as God would have him. God's word has given him the ability to look at life from God's perspective and then live accordingly. That's God's wisdom in action. As he says there in verse 102, he says God has taught him. Throughout his word, God has instructed and given him wisdom to live a life of righteousness, which is for us who are in Christ, it's a spiritual fruit, right? A spiritual fruit of righteousness, a spiritual fruit that reveals that you're children of God. And this gives reason for why we don't want to read in that table. Because it keeps, God's word keeps a check on our conduct. God's word is living in power that discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart, as we see in Hebrews 4:12. And for those who follow Christ, those who have believed in Christ, those who have turned away from their own life where you were in control and you were being led by your sin and your desire to. You saw that and you understood that your sin separated you from God and that Christ was the only way to find forgiveness. And you turned away from that, you repented of it, and you turned to Christ, you asked forgiveness of your sin, and you surrendered your life to Christ so that he's in control, not you. He's in control. When you did that, he adopted you as his own child. Forgave all your sin, gave you eternal life, and filled you with his Holy Spirit. God came to live in you. God, the Holy Spirit, uses his powerful word to bring about conviction of sin in our lives. That's how he brings about holiness. That's how he changes us from the inside out. It's not something we just muster up in our own strength. God is the one who brings about this change in our lives. And that's how it happens. God's word is there to protect us, as it did for the psalmist here. It protected him from evil. As a guardrail protects us from going off the cliff to our death. His word was there to guide him in the way of righteousness, as our GPS guides us to the right destination. Yet in our human nature, we want to go our own way. And we think we know the right way, but in reality, we don't. We are all by nature, all of us, prideful. We want to keep control. We want to make everything about us. As Proverbs 14:12 states, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to God. There's a way that seems right to us, but in the end, it leads us down the wrong path. Chaos, struggle, pain, and death. God's word teaches us what the way of righteousness looks like. His word teaches us to think properly with a right understanding, a right perspective. I don't know if you understand, but Satan's objective is to develop a culture that leads you away from God. They lead you to think from the perspective that is right in the world's eyes, or right in our own human flesh. His desire is to use the world around us to deceive us, to blind us, to destroy your life, your marriage, your family, your children. And we may not realize it here in America that we are being persecuted for our faith. We don't even see it. I mean, could it be that our enemy is so subtle in his evil scheme that he has developed a culture that distracts us, that keeps us so busy that we don't have time for God's word, not even time to pray? You know, there's places persecution may be right in the face of God's children, but here we've been duped. Duped by our enemy, tricked by his subtlety. Are we not falling prey to this every single day? I mean, just think about that for a moment. Are we not falling prey to this? To the subtleties that he's put in our culture. A way that the world says is right and true, yet it is wrong and false. Are we not falling prey to this? God desires what is best for us. What will bring blessing into our lives. And those who fully trust in God's word, those who are led by God's word, are blessed. It's like the man that we read about in Psalm 1, who was blessed because his delight was in the word of God. All throughout the Bible, we see God's hand of blessing on those who walk according to his word. Not those who reject and oppose God. Not those who decide they're going to go their own way, or I can plan my life better than God can. There's no blessing in that. Just look around you and truly look at the lives of people who think they know best and they can go their own way. Think about that for a moment. Spiritual blessings that God wants to give you, they cannot be compared to anything this world has to offer us. We need to spend time in God's word and listen to the master teacher. Allow God to teach you the way of righteousness. Allow the word to lead you away from evil and keep you safe from the schemes and traps of the evil one that he's laid for us in our culture. Lastly, we love God's word because in God's word, we find spiritual understanding. Look at verses 1 and 3. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You know, as I mentioned before, being a follower of Christ is not about religion. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship with God who loves us and we love him in return. A relationship where God the Holy Spirit feeds us through his word and he helps us understand what it means. It is by his word that he gives us this spiritual nourishment needed for us to grow and be fruitful. The psalmist here is not the only one to speak of God's word being sweeter than honey. See, God's word is sweet on the taste buds of his heart. Yet it is also nourishment for your soul. Think about this for a moment. You know, we sometimes equate things that taste delicious with things that are not healthy for us. Like double fudge brownies and triple layered chocolate cake and Krispy Kreme donuts and peach milkshakes from Chick-fil-A. Right? Let's think of today. You know, when I lived in Sri Lanka, I enjoyed these amazing fruit juices. For some reason, God blessed Sri Lanka with so many what we would call these super fruits. You can't even buy some of them here. But the flavor and taste of those fruit juices were so amazing. And at the same time, they were so good for you. Some of them fought cancer cells, boosted your immune system. I could have something that tasted so wonderful, and yet it nourished my body as well. Well, God's word is like that for us. The more we love Jesus, the more we will love and desire his word. Like the psalmist here, how sweet is God's word to you? How sweet is God's word to you? See, this may reveal the nature of your heart. The Message paraphrases this verse like this. It says, your words are so choice, so tasty, I prefer them to the best of home cooking. Can you imagine loving God's word more than mama's home cooking? Think about it. The more we love God, the more we love His word. His word becomes our desire, it becomes our passion. We truly start to realize, and that verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good, we start to realize how sweet it is for our soul as God fills our hearts with inexpressible joy. I mean, a joy that just doesn't make sense in the middle of trials and hard circumstances. For some reason, it's inexpressible. He fills our hearts. We start to realize how sweet it is when He fills our hearts with indescribable peace. I just can't explain the peace that I have. With satisfaction, true contentment, we start to see how sweet it is, how wonderful it is for us, how good God's word is for us. God's word is spiritual health food that tastes delicious. God's word is like spiritual antibodies that protect us from life-threatening germs and diseases. The psalmist states here in verse 104 that through your precepts I gain understanding. In other words, through God's word we gain spiritual understanding. And this spiritual understanding from God's word is sweet to our soul. Spiritual understanding that protects us against things that the world wants to bring into our lives, that harm us, that can take us away from God. What does it mean to gain spiritual understanding from God's word? When His word teaches us truth about how things really are. His word teaches us what is really important and what truly matters. God's word gives us spiritual understanding that helps us make sense of this sin, tarnished, broken, evil world. His word exposes what is evil by protecting our minds with His truth. This spiritual understanding helps us see things correctly. And it gives us a glimpse through the eyes of God, having His perspective instead of man's perspective. His word gives us spiritual understanding that changes our thinking. You know, the psalmist says there at the end of verse 104, therefore, I hate every false way. As we gain this spiritual understanding from God's word, we begin to hate sin. We begin to hate what it does in our lives and the lives of others. We begin to hate Satan and his lies. We begin to hate everything that mocks God and leads people down a road of destruction and death. We want nothing to do with these things because God's word, through His word, we gain spiritual understanding. We clearly now understand the truth about God, about this world, about ourselves, and everything else. It has opened our minds. We start to see and understand clearly what's really going on. Therefore, we hate these things. We abhor them. Don't allow the internet to be your source of understanding and wisdom. Turn off your device and open up the Word of God. The Word of God that is truth, that is inerrant, that is infallible. The Word of God gives wisdom and spiritual understanding and teaches us the way of righteousness. It is a path, it is a guide for our lives. God has given us His powerful words of truth.
and we desperately need them. God owes life to us. And if we want to grow in our love for God's word, we can start by setting apart time to be alone without distraction, even imagine that, with your Father. Tasted and seen how good he is. Ask the Lord today to give you a greater love for him, greater love for his word, and don't stop asking. Keep asking, because God will.